Goals are fruitfulness. As you know, listen up, teenagers, children, listen up. In John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life more abundantly, and that more abundantly, excuse me. And it says in John 15 that we are to bear fruit. And as you've been out putting out tracts, you've been encouraging people to come to church, God has been blessing your efforts. But there are five things that will kill your fruitfulness. Five things I want to talk to you about. Number one is apathy. Apathy. And I want you to think about that. The word apathy means the fact that we don't feel anything for someone else. When we look at someone and we don't feel anything, that's apathy. And the Bible said that when Jesus went out and saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He saw something, he felt something, and then he did something. One of the things that'll kill your fruitfulness for God is apathy. The Bible says in Psalm 142 and verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man would know me. Nobody would look at me. Nobody would pay attention. Nobody would see my need. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And I got to tell you, as I mentioned Sunday in the message Sunday, listen, we're never more like the devil than when we lie. And we're never more like the devil when we just ignore the plight of the lost and watch them drop off into hell. We're just never more like Satan than that. So apathy is one of the things going to kill your fruit bearing. Now, the thing is, what is it that you are passionate about? The opposite of apathy is passion. What is it you're passionate about? Is that something you can use for the glory of God? And if it is, then you need to be utilizing that for the glory of God. That God will use that to bear fruit. God said in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 that he was looking, he sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God is looking for somebody whose heart is soft and usable, has a passion for him. But apathy, looking at people's plight and not feeling anything, will kill your fruitfulness. Number two, ignorance. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm talking about ignorance. People who just lack knowledge. Is there some folks you see them living their life and you just say, oh, bless their heart. We had this saying in Arkansas, pitiful. Child, pitiful. That's what we'd say. Because these are folks that just didn't know better. You not knowing what God wants you to do. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Ignorance. Ignorance of what God wants. Ignorance of God's word. Ignorance of God's will. And more importantly, ignorance of God as a person. It's not a, listen, you need to know God as a person. On a personal level, not just in salvation, but in your daily walk. If you want to be fruitful, your time with God's got to be more about you and him communing together and knowing each other. Have you ever felt like your life took a wrong turn or you always seem to take the wrong turn? Anybody? How about your life always seems to be the one full with potholes? Huh? Why is that? Sometimes it's ignorance. We just don't know what God thinks, what God wants, and we've not taken the time to get to know him personally. It'll kill your fruitfulness not knowing him in a personal, intimate way. Number three, rebellion. Listen, rebellion will kill your fruitfulness. Knowing what God wants from you and then going, I don't think so. I don't think so. We call that being dumb on purpose. That means wanting to hurt yourself on purpose, out of malice or pride. Have you ever met somebody who's just so mad at God that you just couldn't talk to them? They're so mad, frustrated. Listen, they're not fruitful people. They're not people that's going to bear fruit because rebellion is based out of malice and pride. And when you are willfully ignorant, you decide, I'm not even going to look at it. I don't want to know what that Bible says. I don't want to know because I'm mad. You will not bear fruit. You will live a life that is fruitless. And your life will always seem like you've taken the wrong turn every time. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do an evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before the Lord. There is a harvest coming to those who are willfully rebellious against our Lord. You will not bear fruit. You cannot sin and win. You cannot violate Scripture and win. And you'll be fruitless. Number four, fear. Fear will keep you from bearing fruit. Fear of failure, fear of discomfort, fear of the unknown. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Fearing anything other than God himself paralyzes you from the purposes God has for you. What is it you're afraid of? What is it that paralyzes you? What is it that, is it a fear of being uncomfortable? Life is a series of choices that make us uncomfortable. You know, people say, well, I just don't want to fail. The only person who doesn't make mistakes is the person who does nothing. And in doing nothing, they still make mistakes. Lastly, number five, the thing that will kill your fruitfulness is distraction. Sometimes you think, well, I'm distracted because I've got disaster or I've had destruction in my life. But the truth is, distraction. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Many times, distraction is our reaction to just a tiny little wound. Have you ever walked around with a pebble in your shoe? You know, and you're like, I've got to get this out. And you just can't be comfortable till you sit down and take it out, only to find out it's not a pebble. It's one of those stick pins stuck up. You ever had a screw or a nail in your shoe? You thought, well, it's just a pebble. No, it's a nail. And nothing else matters until you get that taken out. Nothing else matters. And I'll tell you the truth. Distraction doesn't have to be big things. It can be just something small in your life. You know, those little black screens on those phones are a terrible distraction. They suck up so much of our time and so much of our energy, and it seems like, see, you got to understand, your life slides through your fingers while you're distracted. Sometimes you're distracted because of a small wound, because somebody wounded you, and it just has never healed. We call them persistent wounds. But there are a cure for these five enemies. There is a cure for all five of them. Number one, the cure for apathy is love for God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ, that means that he loves me so much. Hello, baby. He loves me so much, I am constrained because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You, listen, you know what's going to cure your apathy? What's going to cure you from seeing people and not actually feeling anything? Is loving God. Realizing that if you love the people, if, listen, you love God, you're going to love the people God loves. I know people who claim to be Christians, but they don't love the people of God or the book of God or the house of God. They don't love the music of God. They don't love anything of God, but they're Christian. Trust me, if you don't feel something when you see lost people, you need to fall in love with your God again. Ignorance. The cure for that is knowing God personally and knowing God's word. The Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You got a good one? Which one?
They won't perish, but they have everlasting life.
Amen. That's right. Amen. John 3:16. That's right. The cure from rebellion, though, is repentance. There is no other cure for rebellion but repentance. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. See, when we're in rebellion, even as God's children, you are not directly underneath the spout where the blessings come out. You're off on the edge. And you're watching everybody else get blessed. And you think that you're doing what you've always wanted to do, but you're missing it. You're missing God's will. Fear. The cure for fear is faith in God's character. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The more you know about God's character, the more you understand his promises, the more confidence you have in him as a person, then you'll be less fearful and be more fruitful. And lastly, distraction. The cure for distraction is to focus on God's will. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. My brothers and sisters, we are to be fruitful. And the things I've mentioned tonight don't seem like big things. But the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the small lapses in character. It's the small things that we allow to creep into our lives that distract us from God's person, distract us from God's call, that takes up our focus because it's a small wound. These are things that are going to keep us from bearing fruit as Christians tonight. But you know, it all starts with salvation. If you died tonight and you're not sure heaven's your home, it all starts by knowing God personally as your Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus Christ came to earth, 100% man, 100% God, took our place on the cross of Calvary. And he took my sin and your sin and everybody's sin upon himself. And now he offers forgiveness to each of us if we'll just pray and ask him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he loves you. You're a sinner just like me. You're under God's wrath just like I was. But God will save you if you call upon him tonight. It starts there. But for us Christians, those who know the Lord, what's distracting you? What is it that you fear? What is it that you would rather do than God's will? What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that could be used for God? But unfortunately, you're unfruitful. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we continue tonight, remind us of these things that we might be fruitful. God, that we might be usable vessels. And if there's one here tonight who's lost, God, that does not know Christ as their Savior, Father, help them to know you love them. Make yourself real to them. Convince them of their sin and their need for a Savior. Convict them. May they repent. And for us, God, even we as your children can be rebellious. God, draw us back, draw us close, use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.